Welcome to Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm John Weigel here with Rob Litterst, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Researchers, companies, and big pharma alike are looking towards the next frontier in drug production, and that's space. Notably, a company named BioOrbit is trying to get this ship off the ground to help cancer patients going through immunotherapy. So what is it about space that could make these potentially life-saving drugs more effective for patients? We'll get to that in a bit, but first let's give you the hits and headlines today in business and tech. Starting us off here, Microsoft is unbundling its Teams and Office products globally. This comes 6 months after doing so in Europe to avoid antitrust fines. The tech giant was under investigation after Slack filed a complaint in 2020 with the European Commission. Rob, what do you make of this Teams and Office split?
Yeah, this is wild because it's almost like an admission that they were, you know, building a monopoly and doing unfair business practices, which when Microsoft announced that it was going into the messaging game, Slack put out this big ad in the New York Times, like, welcome to chat, Microsoft, and like, made this big show of it about how like confident they were that they were going to beat out Microsoft's product. What they didn't see coming is that Microsoft was just going to give Teams away and literally not charge for it at all. And I think today, like if you look at the number of total users on Teams versus Slack, it's like laughable. Teams has so many users just because of Microsoft's install base.
Yeah.
It's apples to oranges. But at the end of the day, it's like, would they actually be paying as much as people pay for Slack if it wasn't part of the Microsoft bundle? I don't know. So I do think this is smart. It's something that I think Microsoft ultimately needs to do. And it's actually, I think, more fair as well.
The fact is, Microsoft Teams, frustratingly, at least to me, comes on your computer when you get a PC anytime. So anytime I open my PC, it just Teams just blasts on my desktop and I don't know how to get it to stop. So this is nice for me. But for Slack users alike, I'm sure this helps that there's not this big corporation in there anymore.
It's funny because I think two things have kind of happened. So Ben Thompson, the guy who writes Stratechery, talks about how Microsoft actually does like an amazing job with Teams of connecting work from other platforms. It's incredibly easy to find like shared documents and stuff like that. Connects it to Outlook. So it's super easy to kind of attach Teams to OneNote, to your docs, to your email. And at the end of the day, like that utility is incredibly useful and makes your chat tool that much more powerful. I think the other thing that's happened is there's been a very negative narrative around Slack and what it actually does for work over the last few years. A lot of people just play Slack whack-a-mole all day, just like, hey, oh, I got this new Slack. I need to figure this out, instead of actually working on the bigger projects that they need to be working on. And so it's really interesting. Like, I think the optics have changed around Teams quite a bit, but that doesn't change the fact that economically, it's not a very fair fight between Teams and Slack.
Yeah, seems like it. All right, moving over to fast food. California's new minimum wage of $20 an hour for fast food workers went into effect yesterday. And that's a 25% increase from the $16 minimum pay that remains for those in other industries. So quite a bump for fast food workers. Love to see it. Authentic Brands Group, owner of Sports Illustrated, is suing Manoj Bhargava, 5-Hour Energy founder and head of the publisher Arena Group, for $48.7 million in missed payments and damages due to copyright and trademark infringements. All right, moving on to the movie business. Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, saw an $80 million North American box office debut, beating expectations of $50 to $55 million and buoyed by large format ticket sales. So what do you make of this, Rob? Did you see the movie?
Yeah, you know, this is super cool. I think at this point, I'm excited about anything that is good news for the movie business. I grew up loving going to the movies. One of my favorite things when I was a kid. Still love going to the movies, and I want to see the movies persist. I really hope that this current kind of wave of superhero movies passes by at some point and we get back to the point where there are a lot of more independent movies at theaters. And I also hope that more movie theaters pop up that are showing those kinds of movies. But I honestly just like don't know if that business model still works. But I love this, and it makes a ton of sense. I think for these superhero type movies and like really big experiential movies, IMAX is going to be a massive lever for them. I think all of these other kind of like really big screen, large format experiences can do a ton for ticket sales and revenue. Definitely. And at this point, it's like anything that's helping the movie business stay going forward, I'm happy to see.
Yeah. The demand is increasing, I think, for these IMAX formats and large formats because people just don't have those big screens at home. I mean, they have a screen, so maybe like a movie theater would be more comparable to what you have at home. But an IMAX or something like that, that's a big deal. Like I know a lot of people were seeing Dune 2 specifically in IMAX or seeing the movie twice, once in regular theater, once in IMAX. So it's making a lot of money for a lot of big time movies, it seems.
Yeah, 100%, man.
And finally, per a Cash App study, 54% of Gen Z taxpayers say filing taxes has made them cry in the past or that they expect it will this year. Finally, something we can all agree on.
This is just a welcome to life headline for the Gen Zers. Taxes suck. That's how it is today. That's how it's always been. And I'm glad that we're all on the same page about something.
Yeah. All right. And today's big story takes us out of this world. A company called BioOrbit is actively working to produce drugs in space. But Rob, why exactly are companies like this and Big Pharma alike so interested in taking their operations well into the galaxy? I'm so curious about this.
First and foremost, I think obviously the cure to cancer is in outer space.
Right.
How did we not put two and two together earlier than this? This just makes so much sense and it excites me. The company that you mentioned, BioOrbit, is a space manufacturing company. And they're ultimately trying to commercialize drug production in space. And to your question, there are kind of two things that I think have made this development really start to tick. Mm. One of them is immunotherapy. So immunotherapy mimics the body's immune system to attack harmful cells. It's one of the most effective ways to treat cancer. It's one of the most effective new treatments that has come to market, mm-hmm. but it needs to be administered intravenously, which means that patients have to sit for time-consuming infusions. Mm. To speed up the process, patients could, in theory, self-inject the drugs at home, but any solution that's concentrated enough for an injection to work would be too thick. The only way to thin it out enough for self-injections at home would be to crystallize the proteins. The challenge there is that it's impossible to crystallize the proteins on Earth, which is why these companies are going out to outer space to try to develop these drugs in the galaxy.
Whoa. Okay, so the Earth's gravitational pull makes it impossible for them to crystallize these here, so that BioOrbit and all these other companies are trying to look to space now in order to crystallize them up there and then take them back to Earth to administer them. This is insane.
It's actually mind-blowing. Exactly. It's really crazy. And wow. I mean, the thing is, without the Earth's gravitational pull getting in the way, proteins could crystallize uniformly, and a super concentrated solution would be just a massive win for cancer patients and for medicine more generally. Mm. So BioOrbit, which was founded in 2023 and was funded by the European Space Agency, is set to test this process out on the International Space Station.
Wow.
And then in 2025, they're planning a second space flight, hopefully alongside a pharmaceutical partner. So they're actively testing this now. They're hoping that they have a partner who will go out and actually help them develop these drugs in 2025, which is just super, super exciting.
So if a company like BioOrbit, that's so recent, you said founded in 2023, can do this and make these things happen and look to produce more drugs in space, are any other companies or any like large pharmaceutical organizations working on this? I would imagine they've gotten in there already somehow.
BioOrbit is not the first company to try dabbling with drugs in outer space. Big pharmaceutical companies like Merck and Bristol-Myers Squibb have been trying to do protein crystallization for a while now. Mm-hmm. But the challenge for pretty much any of these companies is just that outer space has a really high barrier to entry with yeah. long wait times to board a rocket.
Very high.
High expenses and regulations. It's not exactly the tightest feedback loop, which I think is really what helps power the pharmaceutical industries, being able to rapidly test and engage results, mm-hmm. right? And so that's hard enough on Earth, right? When you're testing drugs with different patient trials, when you add the variable of having to go to outer space to crystallize these proteins, I think it's going to push your timeline out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, getting these things done quickly isn't exactly able to happen given the time that it takes to get from here to the International Space Station. And also, I'm sure it's a heck of a lot of money to get any of this done too.
100%. That's going to be really interesting. You've seen some of these drugs. Like I remember Martin Shkreli, the guy who jacked up the price of a drug. I think it was for HIV, and he came under a ton of fire. But like these are just normal drugs that are being developed on Earth. These aren't space drugs. So I'm super curious to see what the price tag looks like on these.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's some subsidy going on, but it makes you think. I know that the idea behind space colonization has been around for a long time. It's clearly something that Elon Musk really cares about. And it's clearly something that I think a lot of futurists have been thinking about forever, just with what's happening to the planet. And, you know, we're overpopulation make it so that humans need to find other destinations to live on. And a lot of the narratives around that are kind of like, we're playing defense to go to outer space, right? Like, we need to go to outer space so that we can, you know, figure out a way to move on past Earth, because Earth is just going to get too crowded. But this gives us other reasons, I think, to start colonizing space. It's like, oh, there are things that we can do in outer space
right.
that can actually solve some of the biggest problems on Earth. And I think this is just kind of hitting the tip of the iceberg with that. So I'm very excited to see not only how this develops specifically for cancer treatments, which is, I mean, so amazing. Everybody knows somebody who has gotten cancer, and it's just the freaking worst. So I'm super excited about this in and of itself, but also very excited to see where these developments lead down the road.
Yeah. And there seems to be a lot of potential here to not only just do this at an international space station, but to create other locations where this can be done exclusively there, like labs
totally
in space where this happens in a mass production. So yeah, very fascinating to see where this ends up. And maybe in a few years, we'll have some more drug pharmacies near Mars, perhaps.
Man, that is going to be crazy. Like, there are going to be college graduates in, you know, 15, 20 years who are going to work on a pharmacy
in space
on a space station.
That's crazy.
Like, that is crazy.
Yeah, no, I just hope to be the first podcast in space. So maybe we can make that happen.
Oh, we're going to make that happen. We will be on that station for sure.
Yeah, definitely. All right, and that's going to do it for us today. Thanks, everybody, for listening to The Hustle Daily Show. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, feel free to get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow.